Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We know what boys like. We know what they want, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show. It is the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller, and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the football's here as well.
Thankfully.
The Premier League is nearly upon us, ladies and gentlemen, and there's a big one. This is monumentally big. It's Mourinho returning to Stamford Bridge, Chelsea versus Manchester United. Oh my goodness, back at the bridge for the first time since he's been sacked as Chelsea manager.
This is the patented Pete Donaldson thigh rubber and no mistake.
Yeah. Mm.
Isn't it?
Their ex is back in town. It's potentially going to get awkward, isn't it?
The thing I like about you, and Marcus, you might want to come on this as well, is the fact that Jose Mourinho will have absolutely no problem whatsoever in returning to his old stomping ground and stinking the place out.
Yeah,
absolutely. 10 men beyond the
ball. He will happily pay no respect to the wishes of everyone involved as well. If he might say something terrible out about a referee. You know, he might do anything. The fact that it's Chelsea, I don't think it's going to make a difference to how he behaves.
He's going to bowl into Stamford Bridge just going, don't care much about history.
Yeah. It's funny though, isn't it? Because as we've said about Mourinho's team so often, they start off playing pretty good stuff, pretty scintillating stuff, and then when they need to get it over the line, that's when they start doing the sort of kind of dirgy, really horrible kind of 10 men behind the ball kind of football, as you say. But now, because their form has dipped almost immediately, they're just doing it. It's what they did against Liverpool, isn't it? It was spectacularly unambitious.
Listen to this for a stat.
Go on.
Jose Mourinho lost just one league game at Stamford Bridge between 2004-05 and 2014-15. He won 76 and drew 21. He then went on to lose 4 of his final 8 games in 2015-16.
It's remarkable, though, isn't it? His record at
what
Stamford
a turnaround.
Bridge. But I loved it what he said when he was Inter manager and they went to Stamford Bridge in the Champions League when he had that great front line with Eto and the Argentinian Milito up front and so on, and Schneider in midfield, and of course they won the cup. And he said before the game, you know, it was quite an emotional return because obviously he'd left Stamford Bridge at Chelsea under a cloud before, went to Inter, then went back there. I think it was the quarterfinals. It was definitely knockouts and it was before the semi-final and it could have been second round, and he went there and they chatted to him about all this, and he finished up the interview by saying, but I normally get what I want at Stamford Bridge.
Oh, really?
And they did. I think it was Eto who scored the winning goal, you know. Yes. and he mugged off his old club, you know.
What do you think about this game particularly then?
Well, I think that you're right. I think he will have no problem getting a 0-0 draw. Oh, sorry, no, he'll have no problem with a 0-0 draw. Yeah, he may have a problem getting it. Diego Costa will have something to say about that, I'm sure. Yeah. But I think the way you watched Manchester United against Liverpool, I think with Mourinho it's an interesting one. When he returned to Chelsea in his second stint there, in that I think it was the first season, he was resigned to the fact that they wouldn't win the league. He said they were a good forward away from winning the league, and then of course they got that forward and then won the league. And I think Mourinho this season,
he said they were a little horse.
They were a little horse.
They were a little horse.
That's right, he did, yeah. Well, I think that he probably thinks that right now. As you say,
Man United are a little horse.
Well, no, I think his team particularly are a little horse, maybe not the club.
I don't agree with it, though.
Well, whether you agree with it or not, but I think Mourinho will, the way he normally is with teams, I think he'll be assembling in his side with Pogba and Ibrahimovic and all the rest of it, see how they get on. And actually, I think next season is normally the time when, the second season, when he really, really will try and come into his own if it's the second stint at Chelsea that were anything to go on. So I think getting a 0-0 away from home at Stamford Bridge and
it's a good result anyway, isn't it?
It's not a point away to one
even
of the
if
best
you
sides.
Did have designs of winning the league. I mean, you take a 0-0 at Stamford Bridge,
you would. But I think I think in his second season at Old Trafford, I think that perhaps this is the type of game where actually they would go out more for the win. So I would suspect him to try and stick the place out.
So we're assuming that he is going to go there and like just be happy with a draw.
Well, Chelsea are 21-20 to beat Man United with Bet365, so £10 returns you £20.50 including your stake. But I don't think United are going to show anywhere near the ambition they should be showing for the players they've got.
It'd be interesting to see if he knows how to spoil his old team, you know, because he knows those players so well. He's going to know what their weaknesses are and you know how to get at them. So will he sort of, you know, almost be a bit of a saboteur and just send his Man United team out there to just wind them up and frustrate them?
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, as you say, he knows a lot of those players fairly well. The big question for me is, will Manchester United arrive on time?
Oh, yeah.
They're not very good at this, are they?
Well, not in London recently.
Like you, mate.
Like me. when they went away to Spurs and West Ham, they were late. That was last season, resulting in delayed kickoffs. Clubs can be fined around £5,000 for a late arrival.
It's not that much, is it?
It isn't that much at all. Like, even if you...
Should be £5,000 per minute.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That would be much better, wouldn't it? And the money goes to the home club.
Yeah.
So every minute ticks by, the home fans... Yeah. Get a bit more money in the
count
pot.
It down. 60, 59, 58.
Yeah, they're all getting money off their season tickets. Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
At the time of recording, Manchester United are about to play Fenerbahce in the Europa League. Robin Van Persie said he will enjoy going home. Is that a little dig at
what
Arsenal?
What a dig.
I don't know if it is a dig, is it? Because I think Robin Van Persie... He's intelligent enough to know that if he went to Arsenal, it wouldn't be an enjoyable return.
No.
And Man United, I think he'll get a better reception than he would at the Emirates. So, maybe it's a little bit of a dig, but it's not necessarily...
True.
He's not exactly out swinging, is he?
He also said he only left Manchester United because Alex Ferguson was going.
Yeah.
Partly because your legs were gone as well.
Yeah, you were going too.
Yeah.
It could be. What about Chelsea themselves, though? Because Mourinho does know that team pretty well, but they're obviously slightly different under a new manager. And if you look at Eden Hazard, Conte, people are saying they're trying to free him up a bit more.
Yeah.
Whereas Mourinho wanted him to be a bit more functional, and obviously it worked because he was player of the season, for crying out loud.
It worked for one season.
Worked spectacularly well for one season. Yeah. And then
a player like that, sometimes if you restrict them too much and you restrict the space with which they have to work in, I guess they're just going to get frustrated, aren't they? I think that was the situation with Hazard. It wasn't that necessarily that like his form just disappeared off a cliff in this weird way that everyone thought it was, or at first at least. Like, it's just playing in such a restrictive role for a player like that, you can only be happy with it in your own mind for so long, and I think that probably got on top of him.
He's going to have a lovely time playing for Belgium under Martinez.
Yeah.
He ain't going to be able to do anything.
He certainly is.
He can play a couple of positions at once if he wants, as long as they're forward ones.
Yeah.
It's funny, actually, because Chelsea, obviously, not that long ago, went on a winless run of three games, which is quite a lot for a big side, in all competitions, in the Prem, sorry. But then I looked again and I thought, oh, yeah, they're only 3 points off the top. They've won a couple of their last games.
Yeah. Well, it's early days, isn't it?
It's early days.
You know, it's the whole thing of not looking at the table for
however long. They're 3 points off the top at the moment.
Yeah. So you think to yourself, actually, yeah.
It's a very competitive league. I mean, we said a while back, you know, a few weeks ago, it looked like Man City were going to walk it, and it's not going to be the case, I don't think, because possibly because Guardiola tries to be too clever for his own good. But there's lots to play for, a lot of teams in the mix-up.
In the mix-up?
Right, in the mix-up. In the mix-up, I said. Mix-up.
Okay. Do you like Chelsea with a back three or a back four? Because at times with a back three, I think a lot of those defenders, especially like John Terry, I mean, obviously he's a good player, but actually, they just seem more comfortable with the back four sometimes.
I like whatever Antonio prefers.
Is that right?
Yeah. Right.
He's not here.
Oh, you don't know that.
It's going to take them a while to get used to it, though, isn't it? So for that reason, I quite like seeing the 5-3-2 situation coming back. I like it.
5-3-2, not the 3-5-2. You want to play... Bring the wing backs defensively.
That's, you know, off the ball.
Should we talk a bit more about tactics?
If you want. 118? Well, that's just phone numbers, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Any phone number you want, though.
Yeah.
So.
Very, very true.
You have to dial 118-118, then choose your formation.
Yeah.
they'll give you a recommended one.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, do you want me to put you straight through? Yeah, all right.
Yeah. But what if you dial in your formations, do they then set out your team as it should be?
They should. They should do that. It's a good service.
It's like
no one is ringing 118118 when the internet exists. So they should try and come up with something different.
It would be like a Shazam, but for football formations.
Yeah. There's only a limited amount, though, aren't there?
We're all agreed.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm pleased we put that to bed.
Maybe there's a lot more.
Who knows? Uh-huh. Well, Guardiola seems to think there is. He seems to think there's about 4,000 of them.
Tony Pulis does not. He seems to be certain on it, on the way he likes to play.
Oh, Tony.
Well, you know, last week we talked, or earlier in the week, sorry, we talked about, I don't know why we did this, but we talked about Tony Pulis putting wine grapes on his head and putting them down with a baseball cap to squeeze wine down. Wine. Yeah. Someone actually said what he should do is put apples on his head, squeeze them down to make cider!
Nice.
Cider!
Cider!
Like cider.
Yeah, that's particularly strong.
Why didn't we think of that? It annoys me. We're supposed to be thinking of that
we
stuff.
We can't do everything.
No, but sometimes we like to leave a little bit of work for the listeners.
Yeah, we didn't think of it, did we?
Mm. Well, I thought of that.
It had already gone pretty far off a cliff anyway. The fact that we were talking about him smashing grapes into his head.
The thing is, it was only a few days ago. I can't remember why we did it. I can't even remember.
It's something to do with wine. Remember he put loads of wine in Nasser Chadli.
Oh, that's right.
He put loads of wine in Nasser Chadli. Who's responded amazingly well, by the way.
Yeah, maybe that's the trick.
I think he's been involved in more goals than any other midfielder in the Premier League this season. He's scored 4 and made 2.
But how much is Pulis though? Him and Chadders. How much is Pulis?
Chadders
particularly relishing going to Anfield and tearing stuff up.
Oh, he's gonna love it, isn't he? He likes a draw against Liverpool. He's unbeaten in 8.
That's what
Pulis.
I was going to say.
Absolutely loves it.
8 Premier League games at Liverpool, he's not lost.
I think Pulis would be happy to win the league if he could maybe like do a double over Arsenal or Liverpool, or maybe even Leicester's a local rival. Someone who'd really hate it and then just draw every other game. He'd be absolutely fine with that.
Yeah, that would be winning the league in his...
It's like those Serie A sides you talk about or you see from way back in the day when it used to be 2 points for a win, a 1 point for a draw. Yeah. And there'll be like teams winning the league scoring like 30 goals in a season. Absolute purist stuff.
Scotland used to be 2 points for a win, 1 point for a draw.
So did England.
Up until more recently than England.
Up until 2012.
Yes, exactly.
That's a fact.
Of course, the World Cup was as well. But yeah, Liverpool are hosting West Brom. And like we said before, Pulis loves to spoil the party. But then, which manager doesn't?
Well, that's true.
But Klopp
doesn't like to spoil the party. He likes to bring a party, doesn't he?
But he's usually managing one of the big sides.
No, but even if he went to Barcelona and played them away, he wouldn't want to spoil the party there. He wouldn't do that, would he?
True, okay, yeah.
See, Klopp's intentions are pure. They're not always successful, but whenever he goes to a team or even bigger than Liverpool, he'll still go for it.
True enough.
But West Brom have only conceded 8 goals this season, so Southampton, Everton and Spurs have conceded fewer.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty good record. But on the other hand, over 3.5 goals, if they can't stop the Liverpool machine, over 3.5 goals in this game is 6-4 with Bet365, so £10 returns £25 including stake.
Is it a machine, Liverpool?
It's getting there, isn't it? Yeah, it's a stuttering occasionally machine.
Yeah, it's all the cogs are turning in the right ways. I think, actually, that stat, Pulis having not lost a game to Liverpool in 8 games, you look at that, you look at the way they're playing and think maybe that's where this is going to give, because that seems like an unusually long time, an unusually good record. Maybe they'll have a bit too much for them. They're great. They're so great to watch at the moment, Liverpool. They're so much fun.
If
they're allowed to be.
Yeah, right. Yeah. if they did become a proper machine and they actually just started tearing the teams apart and all the rest of it, would you like to see them come out?
Do you mean in like a sort of Terminator style?
Not that far, not that extreme, but maybe as brutal with the football. But would you like to see them come out at Anfield for those who remember or would know of the children's programme Bertha to Bertha, the theme tune? You're such a lovely machine.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember it well. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
It was laboured, Marcus, but it was worth it.
It took quite a long time, didn't it, Jim? It took quite a long time to get to the payoff.
I'm not a machine.
Which effectively was just nostalgia, which is fine.
Which is essentially just, do you remember that kids' TV show, Bertha?
Yeah. Most people listening to this probably won't.
No, they won't.
Yeah. But it's worth a YouTube because it was a wonderful theme tune.
Do you remember when Liverpool played Manchester United last week?
Thank goodness you said that. I thought you were going to go, do you remember Button Moon? I was like, not now.
And Mourinho after the game. Yes. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
It was so good when he was saying that Liverpool were a bit cautious.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
I know. Well, he was...
How dare he
say that?
It's
like he's doing it on purpose.
He is the master at the subtle dig.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because he's becoming increasingly unsubtle, isn't he? I think he's starting to lose his way a little bit.
No,
you can spot them from a mile off now.
Read the quotes with that, because he did actually say, you know, Liverpool are a good team. They showed a lot of attacking intent and blah, 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 blah. And they you know, they played really well, maybe a bit unlucky. You know, only two shots on target, though. Blah, 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 blah. You know, like, he really did give it some. But Manchester United had 35% possession. Liverpool restricted them to that, which is their lowest in the Premier League since Opta Records began in 2003. Wow. Which shows you how good at Liverpool are at pressing and keeping the ball.
If I was a Man United fan, now I heard that stat.
Yes.
I would be thinking about the thing that Bunk Morland in The Wire says when he looks around himself, around this town, and goes, "Makes me sad, motherfucker, how far we done fell." That's Man United.
Yeah.
From their pomp, from their Premier League pomp to that.
Mm.
I mean, of course, the only reason he's not getting more attention is because he's followed the Van Gaal era, which was even worse.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, when I talked earlier about the fact that it's quite enjoyable from a sort of narrative point of view that Mourinho won't care about going to Stamford Bridge's old club and taking a 0-0, the only thing that's against that, and I know we were talking about Liverpool, so apologies, is that that's really restricting Zlatan. That's a downside
to
that.
Absolutely.
He's becoming more and more isolated, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm just amazed that they're going for this style already. It tends to be Mourinho's...
But Pulis will go for it, won't he?
Yeah, I think so.
That's fair, though, for him to do it, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
Well, Tony loves a bit of that.
It's very different. I mean, but he doesn't have the most expensive player in the world in his midfield.
He doesn't.
You know,
not on paper.
No. Oi, TP is within his rights
TP.
To go to Anfield.
Ah, Tony. We love our Tony, don't we?
Do you remember he's Welsh?
Yeah, I know, but I'm doing Warnock.
Oh, you practiced it? Okay.
Warnock would love Tony, wouldn't they? They'd be pals, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think
British manager, isn't it? Got to stick together.
True.
Don't get the opportunities.
No,
I think they'd get on very well. But then if Warnock pushed it a bit, Pulis would be like, all right, just mind where your hands are.
Yeah.
and all right, Tony. Don't need to give me the forehead eyebrow.
Yeah.
That's right. Jurgen Klopp. He's looking like that he's got his feet firmly under the Anfield desk, which can take a while for managers. I remember when Rodgers was in, was it his second season where they finished second in the league, or third season? Can't remember which, but it was perhaps one of the two. And Rodgers, it takes a while with the history and the, I don't know, aura, if you like, of that club and that stadium, certainly. And when Rodgers got his feet under the desk and he was loving it, okay, he had Luis Suarez there, which helps.
Yeah.
But he was looking the part, a manager of a big side. Now, obviously, subsequently, he's gone off. He left Anfield, you know, he was sacked, and now he's at Celtic. But Klopp looks like he is enjoying and now relishing being Liverpool manager. I think he obviously has
it's
been
easy to see him being there for a long time.
Yeah, it certainly looks like he's going to be a significant manager for them, doesn't he?
Mm, he's been there just over a year, but his team's looking more like a Klopp team. And I think when he first joined, he tried to bring a little bit of a Borussia Dortmund feel to him. And actually, it was against West Brom when they drew 2-2. They scored a last-minute equaliser.
Oh, well, he went absolutely mad.
Yeah, and he was sort of trying to get the fans to G up the crowd at the end and so on. And
people laughed at him for that. But it obviously, looking back, it seemed to, you know, have the desired effect.
Well, perhaps, Jim. What I was going to say is that perhaps he was maybe trying too hard to do something too quickly.
Mm. I think he might have been trying to live up to his own reputation a little bit.
Yeah.
And as this guy who Sky Sports are reporting, this really charismatic guy, this sort of cult of the personality type thing. Yeah, and I think he's now eased into who he actually is and just letting his football do the talking. Of course, he's a personality-driven, charismatic chap, but he hasn't got to go over the top on that stuff, you know.
No, and also managers aren't given much time, are they, these days?
They do tend to be at Liverpool, to be fair.
Yeah.
Generally speaking,
they're not given much time, especially in the Prem, so you can understand if he wants to get on with it as quickly
ground running,
as possible.
Yeah. No, I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more Premier League after this.
Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle the streets. Company, but four's a ramble.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble Preview Show. Manchester City, they host the mighty Southampton.
I really enjoyed their game midweek with Barcelona.
Did you?
They didn't at all. No, but I mean, that's not my problem. I thought it was an entertaining game. I thought City were very hard done by, actually.
Yeah.
But the quality of Barcelona obviously told out in the end. But it was a great game to watch.
Joe Hart enjoyed it, didn't he?
Oh, I bet he did, yeah.
Bravo! What on earth was he doing? Like just absolute just. It forgot the rules.
Not so good with his feet, is he, Jim?
Well, or his hands in that situation. Well, because you can't use them out there, pal. It's not the rules.
Yeah,
I mean, and also Fernandinho slipping over in the box. I know that's an element of bad luck, but you simply can't be doing that against Barcelona, can you? It feels like on this little run they're on, there's a bit of a return to sort of typical City. You know the phrase that City fans use about their own team, in the sense that sometimes you know the wheels come off a little bit and silly things start happening, and that's just a great example of that, isn't it?
Well, Man City haven't won in their last four matches in all competitions.
What do you think about him not picking Sergio Aguero for that game?
It's a weird one. I think he was trying to be a bit clever.
I do too. I think if he wanted to play that sort of formation where they have no real striker in it and they force it and press it. I mean, Aguero can do that as well as anyone, can't he? Aguero would be really up for it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't understand it at all. Maybe it's some great tactical thing we're all missing. But it
lost 4-0.
Indeed, yeah. But it seems like leaving out your best striker in that situation makes absolutely no sense.
But as Luke says, you're talking about a top-class forward who is not just a number nine. He's not just a poacher.
Does he maybe have a knock that we've not been told about?
Well,
and that it's been kept quiet so he's, Southampton aren't aware of it?
I'd be fearful of Southampton if Aguero's back against them.
Yeah. He'll be raring to go.
He's going
to
be fuming. He's 3-1 with Bet365. He'll be the first goal scorer in this game, actually. It's £10, returns £40, including the stake.
That's a fair bet.
He'll be a man on a mission.
I was going to say, I might have a little bit on myself.
Southampton haven't won at City since 2004.
Is that right?
It's not surprising, is it? Not surprising.
Yeah, but then,
a lot of that time they weren't actually in the Premier League, were they? But still.
But
Guardiola was saying in the press that I'm never going to change my style and my philosophy and all that sort of stuff, and it's like, well, that's fair enough. I mean, he's had a lot of success so far with it,
but what if it stops working?
Yeah, but it's interesting that he's even felt sort of
under pressure
enough to talk about it.
Yeah,
because I know he's going to have a press conference and people are going to ask him questions, but for him to even answer it in that way seems a bit odd.
But this is after a 4-0 loss.
Yeah, of course.
And
but they've been beaten heavily before. Didn't they get beaten heavily by Bayern Munich when he was Barcelona manager?
Possibly. Was that Pep Guardiola?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay. I can't quite remember, but I think they got beaten reasonably.
Well, he would have been
beaten
soundly.
They were soundly beaten when he was Bayern manager and they went to the new camp. But as Jim says, actually, if you isolate the incidents, Fernandinho slipping over, I mean, Messi may well have tucked it away, he may not have done, but the fact is the slip helped Messi greatly. Then there was the red card, and Bravo, gifting Luis Suarez, and then really it all sort of fell apart.
Yeah, but, Neymar might have scored that on another day.
But there's so much, I don't think the game, the 4-0 really sums it up.
The penalty was ridiculous. I'm sorry, I know I talk about this a lot, but it was ridiculous what Neymar was mucking about with. I mean, I know you're going to win the game, and I know you're ahead of it, but it's an important game. And for all you know, goal difference might be important in that group. And we've seen it happen before. I know it's unlikely because Barcelona are a good team. I'd be roasting him for that.
Yeah.
You bring so many sort of variables into the idea of taking a penalty. Just take the penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time you muck around so much, you're giving yourself one, maybe two steps against a good quality goalkeeper to put a penalty away in a high-pressure situation. For me, it's ridiculous. I know it makes me sound really old and like old. Old-fashioned and stuff, but put the penalty away. Everything's in your favour.
But it's really, realistically, I think the reasons to do it are as much about being flash as they are about tricking the goalkeeper, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Honestly,
yeah.
So
if it was just about tricking the goalkeeper, I wouldn't have as much of a problem with it. But it isn't about that, is it?
It's about looking really smart and wily, isn't it?
Do you know what it is? It's about essentially boosting brand Neymar, is what it is.
Yeah.
And fine, of course, he's within his rights to want to do that in his own capacity. But during a game, when it's important they get a win. For me, that's just really foolish stuff. Everything's in your favour as a penalty taker. Don't reduce your own chances of scoring by mucking about for no reason, because no one's going to remember if you score it anyway.
He boosted brand Neymar with his goal, though, didn't he? Absolutely fantastic.
That's the thing. See, you can't say stuff, can you, Mr. Neymar? Because he just pops up and does something amazing after.
But he probably wouldn't have done it if he'd not missed the penalty, because he still looked furious after scoring the goal. It's like, right, I've got to put this right.
Are you saying I should be grateful in the long run?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Will Man City be able to bounce back against the Saints?
I think they probably will.
I think they will,
yeah. They're also up to the plan tonight, aren't they? Yeah.
They are, but they're away in Milan, of course.
Yeah.
But Southampton, they've looked better in recent matches. They were winless in their first four matches of the season. In their last four matches, they've won three of them.
There's some people in this parish were hoping their luck may have been running out.
Is that right?
Doesn't appear to be the case, does
Surely
it?
Not. Neutral.
It's a long season, mate.
There's nothing worse than seeing Southampton safely ensconced in eighth in the Premier League table.
Southampton, they are looking good, though. And actually, this is the type of game that...
They're like Doctor Who, aren't they?
Do you think?
They're just... The personnel's different, but they're just the same results.
Same old...
Just regenerate.
Same formula.
Like we said, though. like we said on the Monday podcast, you know, that's what happens when a club look pretty well organised and well-drilled and have a platform in which, if the manager leaves, the whole thing doesn't fall down, the players still know what they're doing, and they hire someone who's...
fits in.
Who fits into to what they're trying
I agree.
To do.
Yeah, but I think it'll be tough for them at the weekend, of course.
Apart from Claudio Bravo, of course, of Manchester City, there were some outstanding goalkeeping performances in the Champions League, which deserve a mench.
Hugo Lloris's save was ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. Wasn't it just?
One of the best saves I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's class. It should have been put away.
Should have been a goal.
But of course it wasn't, Jim.
No.
And
old fast Lloris.
Gianluigi Buffon. Mm. Oh,
yeah. Evergreen.
Rolling back the days. I love this quote. This is one of my favourite quotes of recent times in football, he said, because people have been giving him pelters. And of course, for Italy, he did make a big mistake against Spain.
Yeah. Well, he made a few, didn't he?
He did, yeah. And people have been getting on his back. And he's obviously, you know, advanced in years for a footballer. But he said, people can organise my funeral, but there's no one there.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What about the organisers?
I don't know.
Doesn't
they
really
stayed
stand
away.
Up, does it?
No, maybe they organised it in advance and then stayed away.
Maybe he thinks that there's no one going.
Hmm. I actually interviewed Howard Webb today.
Oh, yeah.
And it's coming out as part of a Ramble special next month. And just coincidentally, he said to me earlier that Gianluigi Buffon was among his favourite players to referee.
Why was that?
So he always played with a smile on his face, huge enthusiasm for the game, nice guy, really honourable, that type of stuff.
That's interesting, because you don't really think of Buffon as being like a sort of smiley player, do you? I think
I
of him being sort of like quite, angry, but very sort of
intense, serious
and intense and commanding.
Actually, I would disagree with that, because actually, if you see Buffon, he is actually smiling, and often at the end of games, even if they've lost, he'll smile and change shirts and shake
hands.
Well, that's
what big Howard Webb said anyway.
Well, Webb and I know what we're talking about.
Yeah. If I was Buffon, I'd be smiling all the time.
Yeah, well, quite.
Yeah, right. But he had a great performance. But how about this? Iker Casillas set a new record of 92 matches for the most games won in the Champions League.
You can't argue with that, can you? You can't argue with that.
Well, it's a fact.
Even though he managed to win 92 games in the Champions League despite Mourinho trying to sabotage his career.
Yeah, right. I mean, it should really be over 100, if he would argue.
Whenever we talk about this sort of stuff, it's really evident just how little Mourinho cares about anyone else.
No. Well, and Rooney's finding that out as well. Yeah. Although some people may say that he's justified in that decision.
There's always one, isn't there? There's always someone who really gets a rough time with Mourinho.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of top managers are a bit like that. They try and stamp their authority down, don't they?
Yeah, maybe when he came in, he looked at Wan Mata and went, "You're all right, it's not you this time."
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's
I've moved beyond you.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
I've got bigger fish to fry. What?
Yeah. You're next.
Oh, what? in the Champions League, Arsenal had a belting victory.
Lovely victory. And also, it looked like Ludogorets were going to make it quite hard to start with, and then they did no make it hard, which was great. It was just nice to see Arsenal playing with some coherence, because as we've been saying on the show for sort of like almost a couple of seasons now, that kind of fluidity Arsenal were known for having had kind of disappeared. And we weren't necessarily playing that great football. Nobody seemed to know what Arsenal's style was. But it looks to be back in recent games, and that's a brilliant thing to see. Theo Walcott's confidence is great to see as well. I worried that those misses at the weekend after he'd already scored twice might dent his confidence, and he missed one early on, but scored again, just head down in the right way.
Two Arsenal players who massively sort of really need confidence to play well. It was Ozil and Walcott, and they're both in really high confidence, mate. It's great to see Ozil get a hat trick, and I think he might. They're playing Swansea this weekend, aren't they?
They played
Swansea last week, and they're playing Middlesbrough at home, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And you've got to fear for Middlesbrough, because they're struggling to score goals. And they started
Big Veng's birthday. He's won his last two games on his birthday as well.
It's Claudio Ranieri's birthday today.
Oh.
He's 65.
No way.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, I was going to say, anyway, Middlesbrough are struggling to score, and they started well this season, but I don't think they've won in four now.
They haven't won. Since Sunderland, they beat Sunderland on the 21st of August.
There you go,
They've won one game in all competitions all season. Mm.
Not great, is it?
It isn't good at all.
It's not great to see Alvaro Negredo lumbering around on
them. He'll always be a threat from a set piece, though. That's something, obviously, Arsenal will need to keep keep aware of.
He'll always be a threat at a buffet car, sure. Well, aren't we all?
If you're the food.
Yeah, quite. Aren't we all? Yeah.
If the defenders are the food. Yeah. But Leicester City, they're playing Crystal Palace.
It's Claudio Ranieri's 65th birthday.
No way.
Yeah.
You know, somebody told me that earlier. Yeah. He's proud and angry, is Ranieri. that his side are doing well in the Champions League, but not so well in the Premier League.
Yeah, you can imagine. Roy Keane was absolutely scathing about that, wasn't he? On the old Champions League highlights.
Just say Roy Keane was scathing.
In a weird way, Roy Keane. In a weird way, Ranieri is a man you can really easily imagine being proud and angry at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising.
Yeah, he'd be ticked off in a charming, subtle way.
Mm. I'd like to see the hand gestures.
Would you?
That accompany both angry and happy. From Ranieri.
Crystal Palace are 13-5 to with Bet365 to beat Leicester on their own patch, to upset them. So £10 is only £36, including your stake. It's worth pointing out, no team has finished in the top four after taking 8 points from their first eight games, as Leicester have this season.
Wow.
So it looks like the dream, just on statistics alone, the dream may already be over.
True. That's why they need to win it this year.
But
they're close to being in there.
Yeah. Luke, I think you'll find that no team from Leicester had won the Premier League.
That's
until
also,
last season.
Also true.
So, Luke, you gave us an amazing stat a little while ago, which was that the player who's created the most chances in the Premier League was, in fact, Jason Puncher, which we're all surprised by. 10 of those, specifically, are for Christian Benteke, which is a record from one player to another. And it's made me realise, is that stat that amazing? Or is he just lumping it up to Benteke?
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
Maybe it's not as impressive as it sounds.
That is true. And how many goals has Benteke got this season? Not 10.
he's
doing okay.
He's doing well, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
That is an axis that they're going to try and deploy.
But Leicester, I mean, I know it's been a bit Jekyll and Hyde for them this season, but you'd really hope they would better beat Crystal Palace, who are at best inconsistent at home.
These are the games Leicester have got to win now, because I understand that maybe Ranieri's resting them for Champions League and there's an eye on that kind of thing. And when they go away to Chelsea, that is very difficult now. But at home again, you know, make sure that you're not in a relegation fight for crying out loud.
I don't think the sort of manager that likes to smell blood, though.
I don't think they will be, though, will they?
Well, I wouldn't have thought
I'd be surprised if it gets that bad.
Well,
they're still doing all right at home, aren't they?
They are. Pard said in a recent interview that he was a bit frustrated in his time at Newcastle, and I think he's got a right to be.
He didn't have the respect of them.
They didn't recognise what they had.
He was on a different level, I think.
Yeah.
They'll catch up.
This will teach Pete for not being here.
Maybe 20, 30 years they'll realise what they had.
Yeah. Well, but he did like to think that the club have learned their lessons.
Right.
Is that right?
And some lessons have been learned by Mike Ashley as well. That's what Pards
They've played their parts.
A game of parts.
Yeah.
He said that in a recent interview, I think, with Gary Lineker, that he said, you know, That I think Newcastle have probably learned some lessons.
Yeah, I think I might have seen that, although I just zoned out a bit, I think, when he said that. It does ring a bell, though.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Of course he does.
But I think Pardew, though, that's just the way he is. I don't think he's actually trying to beat the big man or have a dig at them or anything. I just think that just comes out of him.
Someone was saying to me a while back, I forget who it was now, my memory's not what it was, but it was around the context of foreign managers getting a bad press from British pundits generally. Mm. And they mentioned that Paul Merson had referred to Alan Pardew as a great young English manager.
Oh, wow.
When was that?
And it was 3 months ago. And he's 55.
He's 55?
Yeah, Pardew's 55.
That's good for 55.
Yeah, well, he does. That's
still
not the point.
Good enough to fool Paul Merson.
It's not the point, is it? Yeah.
Jesus. Is it hard to
so
fool?
So lazy, isn't it?
Is it hard?
So lazy.
Is it hard to fool Paul Merson?
No.
Sounds like a game show that would be short-lived because it just wouldn't be hard enough.
Well, each episode
would be 5 minutes long.
You'll have
this isn't
him.
Supposed to be a YouTube series. What are we going to do?
Fool Merson. It works in his name as well, doesn't it?
You see? Yeah. It's there. But with regards to Leicester, I mean, I think that the players just in the Premier League, I think I said this before, I think they look at it and think, you know, we're not going to win the league this season, but we can have a real adventure in the Champions League. And they're just totally distracted to levels that we've never seen before.
What it is is a nice draw. They'll win their group, but we've seen before it can be tough, even if you win the group at that level. Yes. They could draw
Bayern.
Or Atletico Madrid or something like that.
Yeah.
Then they'll be in real trouble. So they need to get a bit of luck at the draw. And if they can do that, they can push through to the quarterfinal probably.
Yeah.
That's obviously an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
And if they can safely ensconce themselves in mid-table in the Premier League as well, not too bad.
Again, as we've said so many times, I'm sure every Leicester fan would swap a season like this for winning the league. You know, it's a nice problem to have, isn't it?
Of course.
True, but I do agree with that. And I think that maybe it is nice that there's a bit of realism going on, but as Leicester fans, I know football fans can be a bit fickle and suddenly you get used to something. And I don't think those fans are like that, in particular the Leicester fans. But you don't want to go from winning the league to having a great one in the Champions League to then just mid-table,
all that stuff. That's what they will do. That's what they will do.
They absolutely will do that, but it's unusual to look at this team and think, why is it that you're not doing the things you were doing last season? I know the new rules about, you know, whether you can, like, shirt pull and things like that in the area of making a difference, but it's small, and it's weird, isn't it? It's just they look like a different team. They look like a different set of players.
It's to do with intensity, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
It's to do with not being able to replicate, either consciously or subconsciously, the intensity they had last season when they knew they were going to do something that was absolutely remarkable. And then now they know. They probably knew after two games they weren't going to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's been the narrative around it, isn't it, the whole time, even from the end of last season. Oh, they won't do it next season.
But that's
been drilled into them.
That's why they've still got it in the Champions League. Because they think, we can do something amazing here.
Yeah.
And for that, for them, getting to, like, I don't know, the semi-final would be ridiculous. And so that's what's driving them.
I think that is often the true winning mentality to some teams who have a great season or get lucky. I'm not saying Leicester got lucky, but you see that in the odd cup competition, maybe, if a team does quite well. And, you know, that true winning mentality is you win, you know, you can celebrate it, but immediately going, right, how can we do that again? Or how are we going to plan for the next one? Or how are we going to do that better? You know, you'd see that with... to use another sporting example, the England cricket team, when they won the Ashes against Australia, they'd bask in the glory for the next sort of couple, you know, year or so. Oh, they've been enjoying it, talking about it.
Everyone gets the MBEs out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's a big old jolly up.
Yeah.
Whereas the Aussies are going, right, let's lick our wounds and let's absolutely pummel them when they come to Australia. But if the Aussies win, again, it's like, yes, brilliant, we've won the Ashes and all the rest, but right, let's go away, let's keep on doing what we're doing so we can stay at the top, you know.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult. It's not necessarily criticism.
It's not very British to stay at the top, is it?
No,
not very fair, is it?
I do like the,
well,
the pursuit of the.
Yeah.
I like the pursuit of the fairy tale because they look great in the Champions League. If they, I think if they were like a NASL team, like an old American team, they'd be called like Leicester Dreamers.
True. Yeah. Like that's what it is. Maybe they want the fairy tale to be there, so they don't want to try too hard for the next few seasons. So we'll always go, oh, that's that anomaly. Yeah. Whereas if they win and won it again, we go, oh, you were a good team all along.
They should. You know?
This isn't that great an achievement.
Are you suggesting they should all immediately retire?
I didn't. All
yeah,
of
that'd
them.
Be like a microphone drop of a football
yeah,
career.
That's it, we're done now. We're done.
Yeah, they all agreed
Leicester
to it.
Leicester out.
Yeah. Wes Morgan and Robert Huth go, yeah, this is a great idea. Yeah. Like Danny Simpson and Schmeichel and Mahrez go, hang on, we're not complicit in this, you know. Could be it.
Do you want the bet of the show?
I'd love the bet of the show.
We're going back to Stamford Bridge.
Are we?
Ooh. Under 1.5 goals in Chelsea v Man United. We're going to see if Jose Mourinho can indeed stink the place out. That is 5-2 with Bet365. It's our best bet of the week. £50 return, that's £175, including our stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk.
There it is. Do we have any emails, Jim?
We do have some emails. Let me just dig out the emails, and I will read them.
Well, while you're doing that, Jim, shall I announce that there are 5 more winners of a copy of our book?
No way.
Yes.
Courtesy of the monthly newsletter, which went out in September. The book is, of course, released today, October the 20th, so it's available for you all to buy, as I'm sure everyone who's been listening for the last however many months will know by now.
Yeah.
But just in case, the 5 winners, and we need you to get in touch with us at show@thefootballramble.com with your addresses. Your postal addresses are Inge Erlingson, Claire Shepherd, Henry McCausland, George Allegan, and Jeremy Lavender. If your name is called out, then please do email us in with your postal address, and we'll get one of those sent out to you. More on that in the newsletter next month. It's this month, October's month. October's newsletter this month. There'll be another prize. Not sure what it'll be yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, and do remember audible.co.uk/footballramble.
Yes, for your free copy of the audiobook.
Free copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, free copy.
It's about 8 hours long, the audiobook,
we've
as well.
We spent ages writing that.
It's
giving it to you.
It's like eight rambles in a row. Actually, probably not.
Yeah, don't sell it like that. But yeah, free audiobook. As I say, you can go in, set up an account, and then you can cancel it straight away once you've got the download, and you get it to keep for free.
Yeah,
no strings attached, no fee or anything like that. This is a no-brainer, ladies and gentlemen. Jim, do you have an email?
Speaking of no-brainers, Jim, who's been emailing?
Don't refer to the listeners like that.
Okay, I'll tell you who's been emailing. This one's from Jamie Cox, and he says, I send this missive from the bowels of a Costco, a cathedral, to the big shop. The big shop is back.
Nice.
It was in there when he emailed us this. Purchases include include, though not limited to, 5 litres of premium quality olive oil. So there's a lot, isn't it? Oof, enough bleach to clean even Pete's mushroom-ridden hovel.
Hovel.
2 pints of Lee and Perrin sauce. Again, that's the measurement it's sold in. 16 cans of tuna. A premium
sounds like a shampoo.
Is that Brazilian tuna, is that?
Yeah. 16 cans of tuna, a premium brand upon Marcus's recommendation. Thanks to all the Big Shop chat over the years on the show, I secured this veritable bounty of non-perishable goods in under 90 minutes. I even popped in the old earphones to listen to the ramble while I did it, much to my girlfriend's disgust. Jamie.
I mean, you've not actually... all he's done, really, and I don't want to take anything away from Jamie, thanks for getting in touch. We always like to hear about Big Shop. He's not actually implemented any Big Shop tips there.
He's just
done a shop.
He's appreciated it, isn't he?
I suppose
he's not claiming to
have inspired
him.
We've just inspired him.
He said that he did it all in under 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's
an awful long
not
time.
Not many items. Maybe we need to bring this back, because obviously the listeners are struggling with a Big Shop.
But what I would say is that if you did want to listen to our voices, if you're going to do a particularly long Big Shop, then the audiobook is up to 8 hours
You've
long.
Done that one.
Yeah.
Do you want one from me, from Tom Cousins?
Go for it.
He says, "Dear Ramblers," and the reason I'm reading this out is because this is reference to me talking, being getting quite animated and annoyed about Portsmouth and their lack of fitness. Tom Cousins says, "Dear Ramblers, in regards to comments made by Luke that no team would have conceded more goals in the last 15 minutes of games than Portsmouth since the start of last season, I'd like to bring the last 10 games of Gillingham to the table to rival them. Discounting a drubbing at Spurs," and that was a drubbing, by the way. I think it was 5-0, and Spurs were brilliant that game. "A loss to AFC Wimbledon and a solitary victory over a Coventry side in all sorts of trouble, we have taken the lead in the remaining 7 games. 2 have ended in draws. Bradford 1-1, Chesterfield 3-3. The remaining 5 have ended in 2-1 reverses, with the goal times as follows. Sheffield United, they were 1-0 up. They conceded in the 65th and the 91st minute. Port Vale, 1-0 up, 76th and 84th minute. Millwall, 1-0 up, just before half-time and the 88th minute. Oldham, same again, 65th and 89th. And Bristol Rovers, 82 and 90.
Nice.
He said, that's our lack of clean sheets in 24 games. I'm sure there are plenty more late goals on the list. It may not equal Pompey's end-of-game plight, but I hope it at least deserves an honourable mention. Being held in high esteem with teams like Portsmouth will bring me solace in this pretty dreadful run."
Blimey.
There you go. There's actually another one. A guy got in touch about Scunthorpe as well. I'm going to try and find it. Do you guys want to talk about late goals? Well, I'll just try and find
it. Yeah, I actually have it here, Luke.
Oh, you got it. Great, go. You can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
So, this is from a lovely old Facebook page, which you should really go along and like. So, "Hi, guys. You mentioned on Monday about Pompey throwing away points in the last 15 minutes and challenged any fan to come forward with the worst record. For my sins, I'm a long-suffering Scunthorpe fan. May I present to you our promotion season in 2013-2014 from League 2. Got promoted. So, that season alone, we dropped 22 points in the last 10 minutes, including 6 injury-time equalisers, drawing a game when 3-0 up in the 61st minute, and losing a game we were 2-0 up at half-time. Somehow, we still managed to finish second, break a world record, longest undefeated run by our new manager, and complete possibly the most underwhelming promotion by any team in the history of football."
Never happy, are they?
Yeah,
fans.
Never
happy.
Right. Looking forward to seeing you at Hackney in a couple of weeks, as are we. So that's from Tom.
Tom, another Tom. We've got so many Toms. Tom, the great thing about that is your team were promoted that season, and you thought, what's going to chime in? How can I get in touch with the show?
and still mug off Pompey.
Yeah, I think it's probably to do with the fact that I'm really disappointed in my team, even though they've been promoted.
Entitlement. Unbelievable.
He found the key to the door, didn't he?
He did.
Direct hit.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. We're, of course, back at the start of next week for the podcast in all its glory. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
That's goodbye from me.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.